Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know you're all about this year, and we all understand that. This year.
That's right.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about last year.
Yeah, last year is last year. I'm not focused on last year. Yeah.
What about the fact that everywhere we go, folks want to ask about Malcolm Butler? I mean, sports coaches, players... University, you're a sports fan.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That's multiple months ago.
Is there going to be any more explanation about why he didn't play?
Focused on training camp.
Right, hour number two, Felger and Maz. Felger in the A-hole chair, Maz back in the Maz chair. He was off yesterday, so he hasn't had a chance yet to comment on Bill Belichick's stint at the podium yesterday and this morning. There's more sound that we'll play for you today, but just your overall impression so far of Bill Belichick.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I expected him to fully dig in on the Super Bowl, on the Malcolm Butler issue, on everything. I expected Bill to just completely shut it down, shut everyone down, not answer anything about anything, and say we're on to 2018. I mean, to me, that's what you were going to get. That's what you have gotten. The part of the story that I find amusing, and again, I feel like I'm picking on the fan bases above like every team in town today. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and do it. I look at it and I say Patriots fans now, and they're all pissed about the Butler decision, and rightfully so.
Did you see our poll yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Maz. We asked the people. Okay.
Is it on Twitter?
Yes, sir. Sure, it's on Twitter. That's where we do polls.
No,
what else are we
going to
do? What do you think? We send out like Matt and Framingham out on the street and polling people as they drive by?
Well, no, I don't know. Maybe you put it on our website or
how
something.
Else would we poll them?
Yeah, I can't count this one. It's got to hang in chat.
We sent Matt door to door.
7,000 respondents.
Hold on. So we ask people that, because normally, Maz, don't fans say, we don't need the answers, that he doesn't owe you anything.
Yes.
Bill, good job. Go shove it down the throats of the media.
Yep.
Because we don't care about the media. You don't have to answer the question. That's not your job. You do what you do, and you take a steaming dump over Dan Shaughnessy.
Yep.
99.999% of the time, that's how fans feel. I think it's how they feel 100% of the time. But the Butler thing, does the Butler thing transcend it? So we asked on Twitter, not door-to-door polling, nor did we robocall. We asked the people.
Matt and Framingham could robocall. Don't let him kid you.
Do you? How would that go?
Yeah, this is Matt. I'm calling about the Palace Queue.
Yeah, I came up with the Palace Queue. What do you think? You need an answer from Bill?
Okay, so we asked people on Twitter, do you want an answer on Bill? And you're looking at the results there on our graphic. Maybe it's up on NBC Sports Boston. 73%.
I think that's low. I was going to guess higher.
Oh, I thought it'd be much lower. I thought it'd be 50-50 at best. Most of the fans circle the wagons around Bill against the media.
Oh, yeah, they're pissed on this.
So what you're basically doing, fans, is saying you were with Shaughnessy in that back and forth over Bill.
3-1.
By a 73-27 margin. Holy crap. And I'm sorry, Jimmy, how many respondents?
7,000.
That's a sample.
Oh, that is a sample. That's a good sample.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Maz. I just wanted to cut in and give you that.
No, so look, I'm not the only way.
Roger, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe.
And you think the fans are being hypocritical?
I think they're totally being hypocritical. This is where, you know, every time someone like me brings it up, like, geez, could you answer the question for once? Could you let your fan base and your followers know a little glimpse into what you're thinking or what the logic is? Like, to me, again, they are your customers. And I'd be willing to bet that if you really held the Kraft's feet to the fire on it, or if you could give them some truth serum, the Krafts would say, we'd like him to be a little more forthcoming.
Of course. Yes.
Okay, we'd like him to be a little more forthcoming.
Well, no, I mean.
But Bill gets away with it because he wins. Because he wins. And at the end of the day, ultimately, that's Bill's justification for everything. You don't care. You're only interested because we lost. If we had won, you wouldn't ask. And he's right. I mean, he's largely right. But the fans. Oh, God, you're such hypocrites. You love to sit there and you know, mock people for asking the questions, for criticizing Bill. You love to get on him. You love to do all of that until you're the one that wants the answer. Then all of a sudden, everything's different. And I just think that that is embarrassing. Frankly, I think it's embarrassing. So look, again, I didn't expect him to do it, but I think this is standard operating procedure for Bill. So my level of frustration is probably lower than it was 10, 15 years ago when I first started to experience it.
So, but this is the same thing. The caller said, what did you expect Dombrowski to say on that last topic there, last hour? I say the same thing about the Patriots. I wasn't expecting anything different from Bill, and I'm not expecting anything different from the Red Sox in terms of the PR element. I guess I should expect that. I do expect that. I'm not surprised that Dombrowski's sensitive to that and is trying to spin it a certain way, and I'm not surprised that Bill Belichick does what he does. But every time I hear it, I say, I don't know if you're doing yourself any favors.
You're not.
Like, I don't think that that's the best way to manage that. It's one thing not to give us any information on Butler. I'm not expecting that. But Bill turns around and does it in this sort of, it is. It's kind of passive-aggressive, dinkish way where he's turning around and dumping on the person asking what's a legit question. You know, I mean, just...
Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
I mean, just the tone of that. The tone of that. Like, you know, I mean, here's another one. Jimmy, do you have the Malcolm Butler question and answer? You know, he's asked what... There's been reports that Malcolm Butler's on the trading block. He is. He's on the trade. It's pretty obvious.
Malcolm Mitchell, you mean?
Malcolm Mitchell. That Malcolm Mitchell is being traded. And so Bill Belichick is asked the question yesterday. And I don't expect him to give me an honest answer. You don't have to tell me and say it on the record that... But listen to how he turns it around on the person asking the question.
That you might be shopping Malcolm Mitchell on a trade. Is that true? Are you interested in moving him?
Yeah, I'm not really going to engage in media speculation unless you have some professional comment on that, which I haven't seen any. I certainly haven't talked to any media person about Malcolm Mitchell, so... You'd have to talk to whoever that is.
Yeah, because, again, you would never talk to a media member off the record,
Bill. One person there said if they got four ones, they wouldn't trade them.
No, you don't talk to people, Bill. That's right. You don't talk to media guys. You don't plant things.
Let me repeat for you one more time in case you didn't hear that before.
No, that's not you. But the whole thing, so he turns around.
He demeans people.
He turns around and demeans and dumps on someone. Asking a totally legitimate question. Oh, by the way, just give me a training camp update. Murray, who is the only player on the 90-man roster not accounted for today on the field?
Malcolm Mitchell.
Oh, I see. So if you ask him about it, you're the a-hole. Oh, I see. See, I don't get why Bill has to do that. What? Why do you have to do that?
He doesn't.
What? Why? And it's born out of insecurity or something. Like, what? You've accomplished more than any other coach. There's nothing left for you to prove. You are the top of your field. You are beyond accomplished and brilliant and all those things, and yet you're still that insecure? That you had to turn around and dump on some poor schmuckola reporter who's just doing his job and asking about a trade rumor. That's true. Like, why do you have to do that?
You don't. You don't. Again, it doesn't. I don't think it serves him. I don't think it serves the franchise. I don't think it serves the fans. And again, I get more irritated, though, with the hypocrisy of the fan base. Because I expect this from Bill now. I know what Bill is. I know he's not going to answer it. Now, again, the fact that he will, like, put a finger against his right nostril and blow snot out of his left one at the people asking the question. Like, there you go, right at you, pal. Yeah, kiss my ass. I'm not answering that one. Ah, Malcolm Mitchell, go pound sand. Like, screw you. Fine, I get it. I get it with Bill. But the fans, oh, my God. Like, look, at the end of the day, fine, you want to hate the media because Bill hates the media. Great. They're just trying to, most of them, not all, but more often than not, they're just trying to ask questions and stuff that people are interested in. Now, look, I get it. The media is detestable. I don't blame you. I mean, I hate a lot of the media, too. but seriously, that and Belichick taking such joy in it, reveling in it, sitting there and again, basically pulling down his pants and farting in the face of the people who ask the questions.
Because he knows the majority of the fan base. Like, yeah, Bill, go get him. Go get him, Bill. Yeah, you do it. On the Butler one, though?
No, this one's flipped on him.
The Butler one's different. The Butler one, the fans want the answer.
See, I'm not surprised by that poll. I thought it was going to be higher.
Oh, I didn't. I'm stunned. People sided with Shaughnessy over Belichick.
Mike, I shouldn't say this on the air. I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway.
Say it!
Okay, way back when, Theo Epstein texted me wanting to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's what Shaughnessy wrote yesterday. Like, you can't turn a corner without someone knowing that you're in the media.
Cora, or Price, all these, yeah, all these people he named.
I mean, I reached out to him for something. I remember what the hell it was, and then he says, "Hey, how come Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl?" So this is, but Bill Belichick won't answer that, right? Because he doesn't know an answer to anybody for anything. So I just don't. I don't think he understands the magnitude of the damage this did.
Well, so but and we mentioned yesterday again. You were off that he answered more on his double murderer than he has on this. I mean, he had that one Aaron Hernandez press conference to lead off the training camp that year, whatever it was, 2012, whatever year that all went down, and really did an excellent job.
He was pretty forthcoming in that one.
Showed some humility, answered the questions, acted like just a human being, you know, just a human being as you normally would. One of your employees did something just abominable and you have to, you know, speak to it in some way. You just can't fart into the microphone on that one. And so he didn't, and he did well. I don't know if he understands that people care more about this than Aaron Hernandez's murdering spree. People want an answer more on this than Aaron Hernandez.
I mean,
or any other thing.
Oh, look, I think to me, I have never seen the criticism of Belichick over an in-game thing or even an off-field thing, a transaction, a trade, Mankin, Seymour. I have never seen him get hammered like he's been hammered over Butler. I have never seen it.
Okay,
he's lost the trust of a lot of fans. They'll come back. Once the game starts, they'll come back because they're lemmings. But he's lost a lot of people's faith.
Okay, Red Sox thoughts on this. Bill spoke again this morning. He's got, I'm not sure what he has to say, but he's asked the question, and maybe we can glean some insight, things about Alex Guerrero, things about Josh McDaniels being brought back and Bill's role in bringing Josh McDaniels back, if any. The fact Brady reported early, allegedly, this has been misportrayed, and actually Bill Belichick set the record straight. Did Brady even report early? Bill's going to set the record straight and tell you if he actually reported early or not. So I'll give him credit for that. He gave me a little something on that. Also, do you know this is Bill's 43rd camp?
It's a lot.
43rd camp. He's asked about that as well. So we'll get into all
Murray, that. He's been to more camps than you've been alive. I think.
Yes. Yeah, 41. I'm glad I can do that, man.
I'm glad we straightened that out. Your call's on all of it right after this.
Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I really think about that a lot. Right now, what I'm trying to think about is how to have a good practice today, how to get off to a good start, and how to build on that. It's 2018, not really that concerned about 1975 right now when it started. It was a great year. It's great memories. But right now, I'm focused on this team and what I can do to help our football team in 2018. I hope that's where everybody else is, too.
That's Bill being asked about his 43rd training camp. I guess it's 44th, not 43rd. He was asked about 43. 44 years for Belichick. It's a interesting story there. He doesn't want to go there, which is fine. Like, at least he took the edge out of his voice there. He didn't take a dump on the guy asking just a day one training camp question. You've been here for longer than anyone else in football by a long shot. How does it feel? Like, fine question. At least he didn't belittle the guy. So,
well, no, because again,
baby steps.
It was a flattering question, wasn't it?
Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
Yeah. All right. So this and our Red Sox stuff. We'll get to more Belichick from today coming up here in a second. Casey in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah. All right. Forgive me for a second. I got to do the talking of the pizza public service announcement. But Matt, out of all the hypocritical things that you have said, I can't be saying that the fans are shocked. Bill owes us. This is the first time it's tangible. He lost us a Super Bowl. It is physically visible, finally, for all the lemmings to see. I've been saying it for years. He's, you know, other than Bill Parcells' defense that he won the first three with, he's put crap defense after crap defense on the field, wasted 18 years of the greatest quarterback of all time. And 535 yards and, what, 3-4 touchdowns, and he still lost the Super Bowl? Why? Because he wouldn't spend his money on his defense.
Okay, so this one he owes him. But he didn't owe – he owes you all an explanation on this one, but not 4th-and-2, not the mortar kick, not running it 17 straight times in Miami to close out the season to lose home field advantage.
See, I even disagree with the idea this is the first time he's lost a Super Bowl. How about that decision not to kick with Gostkowski in 2007?
So there's been others. But this one did tip the scales for whatever reason.
Oh, my gosh. And I think because, you know, I don't. Maybe it's because everyone thought the game was a slam dunk, or it was so clear that he was sticking it to the guy, at least in the minds of the fans. I don't know what it was, but this was, maybe it's because he was in the middle of a feud with Brady. You know, again, the Brady allegiance is just as great as it is to Belichick.
So that Twitter poll we did, man, that was enlightening. Next time we will send Matt in Framingham door to door or robocalls. What do you think we bet? Matt in Framingham, you want to do robocalls or you want to go door to door?
Hey, so, yeah, this is Matthew in Framingham, the author of The Palace Kill. But, you know, every day that story becomes more confirmed and more real. But what I want to talk about is this clown shoe in a suit, Dombrowski, trying to pull this on us, what I'm going to call the phallus cue, which you can spell with an F or a PH. Both definitions work. Look it up. What he's doing, basically, is he knows that he sold out our farm system, and he has put us in a situation where usually this time of the year is the time when you address your weaknesses and get ready for the playoffs, which is what every single other team is doing but us. And we can't do that because of what he's done to our farm system, and also because Sly Hop's unavailable because of injuries to Vasquez and things like that. But so he feels like he has to make an excuse as to why he's not bringing in the big names like the other team, because everyone knows the reason why, and he knows it's because of him. And it's the third year of a three-year window, and he's deflecting.
So let me tell you, Matt,
I don't know if he thought that would work, but it's a phallus cue.
It's a phallus cue. Okay, it better be a phallus cue. It better be, because if it's not, if it's the truth, then you all could have had Zach Britton, and he chose Nathan Eovaldi instead. So I'm sorry. Him lying is a much, much better result or much better option than him actually telling the truth.
I mean, Murray made a good point, given his bullpen history. Maybe it's possible that he does view Eovaldi as a better option.
I mean, what if he's telling the truth that they really had the acquisition cost for Britton? It wouldn't have cost him huge. It would have been a doable price for them, and they had it, but they would have rather had Nathan Eovaldi instead. If that's true,
as a starter, because this is the part I think you're both still getting twisted, or at least you are, Mike. He's in the rotation. He's not going in the bullpen. Brian Johnson's going in the bullpen.
Well, no, but not to start. But
I don't think that's going to change.
Oh, it might.
Yeah, it might for sure.
It might.
Someone has to go out there.
Yeah, Brian Johnson or stupid Pomeranz, probably.
Well, I mean, and I'm just not talking about the fifth starter to be the mop up guy. No, there's someone who has to go out there and
contribute,
take on real innings. You know, in real high leverage situations. So it might be Eovaldi. I don't know. I mean, to start, he's starting for sure, because Eddie Rodriguez is out and blah, blah, blah. Like, I got it. And Pomeranz doesn't look quite ready yet, and so fine. You start him now. But all I'm saying is, if he's telling the truth, then he chose Nathan Eovaldi over Zach Britton.
That's worse than lying.
Oh, it's totally worse. Yeah, it's totally worse. And I get the logic of some of the stuff they're doing. I mean, they're getting as many guys as possible that can pitch in the rotation or pitch in relief. Eovaldi's done it. Price has done it. Pomeranz has done it. All these guys have pitched out of the bullpen, too. So they get some options there. Fine. No problem. I get it. But don't go selling me that complete pile of nonsense about, he was a better fit than Zach Britton. If they were the same cost, you'd have picked Britton. Don't lie.
Dan in Salem. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, talking about the social assassin there, he gets all gushy talking about 1975 when he wants to talk about something. But when we all want answers to paying customer, like you said, then, you know, we're on to 2018, but clearly the part of the fan base isn't off of 2017 yet, because he essentially possibly cost us a Super Bowl. But my main point, you know, with the receiving core right now, just really other than Jordan Matthews, who has some good potential there, in Edelman, with Eric Decker still on the market, why aren't we hearing anything about that? And I understand Dez Bryant, you know, with the negative reputation that he had back in Dallas, but why aren't we hearing anything to beef up this receiving core?
Yeah, my belief was he can't run anymore. I'm sure the Pats have looked at, why wouldn't they? They have a need. And Decker's sitting out there. I'm sure they've looked at him and said he can't run. Can't run. Dez Bryant is just, you're taking on a whole nother, you're changing the DNA of your locker room,
sure,
the DNA of your team, and what's the payback? You know, I mean, what's the trade-off there? I don't need Dez Bryant with a 10-foot pole, more trouble than he's worth. But if they thought Decker could play, he'd be here. He's sitting on the street for free.
Now, they've known it longer than we have, but especially now that, you know, you hear all this about Malcolm Mitchell. Like, I would think Decker would be more appealing to them. It just, so I look, to me, the Mitchell thing's not small. I mean, but he's...
Oh, I think the Mitchell thing is huge.
He just hasn't been on the field for them at all in 3 years now, really.
So, I mean, look, I don't know. I do know all the problems of Dez Bryant that are inherent with him. No one wants him right now. So it's not just a Patriots thing. You could say the same thing about Decker. So I'm not going to criticize him for those individual things. I will say, though, Bill Belichick certainly isn't bending over backwards to surround Brady with some named talent. I mean, he lets all those guys go out the door and hasn't really replaced. And even after the Edelman suspension, like, is there anything to account for those first four games at least? Anything?
Doesn't feel like it.
So, you know, I wonder if that's still sort of at play, the Brady-Bill thing. But it doesn't seem like Bill's doing him any favors. Here's Demetrius in the car. Go ahead, Demetrius. Demetrius! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You got to be ready to go. Phil in Malden wants to weigh in on the Red Sox cancellation last night. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, the game was 5-0, and you know what the weather was the last 3 days there. I don't know if you guys caught Cora's comments this morning about canceling the game.
Yes, they were pissed. How do you feel about that?
I mean, they've waited. I've watched games, and I'm sure you and Maz have. They've waited 4 hours to do a rain delay.
So, you know? Look, that's Major League Baseball. They're beefing on the Orioles for starting the game, but the Orioles aren't the one that called the game. It's Major League Baseball that called the game.
Wasted our time. We had a win taken away from us. The league is out to get us. Big bad Orioles.
That's like a Tweety Bird thing or something, right?
Again, all the other, it's a combination of a baby and Elmer Fudd.
Why would the Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why?
So their
life isn't fair.
The headlines are that they're furious at the Orioles for starting the one, so sort of wasting their time. But if they're really pissed about their stats or whatnot, the beef is with Major League Baseball for banging the thing 20 minutes before the rain stopped for the night. Now, it means they would have had to have resumed at 10:45. Or something like that, 11 o'clock call it. So you're playing till 1 in the morning, which is what it feels like they do every night anyway. Like, what's the diff?
Oh, I have no issue with that. I mean, to me, the game shouldn't have started. That's my bigger complaint. I just think, you know, there are lots of times where they will delay the start of a game, and they'll say, we got a cell coming through here. We're going to wait. Because rather than start and jeopardize the availability of pitchers, we're going to wait. They should have done that twice in this series.
Continue with your Red Sox thoughts, your Patriots thoughts. Coming up next, Bill Belichick weighs in on the status of Alex Guerrero right after the update.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Felger and Maz here in Dorchester down in Foxborough. Day one of training camp got off today. Murray, have you been paying attention to the tweets and the reports and all the visuals from down there?
Yeah, I mean, it wrapped up early, so, I mean, we've pretty much digested everything at this point.
Did anyone report if Brady and Belichick were seeing speaking or interacting or...
I haven't seen that.
...encountering each other in any way, shape, or form?
The only thing I looked at was Mike Reese's Twitter feed. So, he had video, like, fans running in. He said Trent Brown played left tackle, like, little things like that to me. But I didn't see anything about Belichick and Brady, no.
I'm just stunned. It's such an easy photo op to put so much to bed. And it just wait till it happens, right? When it happens, and where's the Palace Cube?
Nothing but fake news.
Guaranteed. It's coming. There's going to be a picture of them shaking hands in the stretch line. And don't you feel like an idiot? But it hasn't happened yet. They've had so many opportunities just to do a fake photo op. Fake it. Cross each other on the field and... just
pat each other on the ass,
high five each other, give a knuckle, and the picture will be snapped and it'll be in the paper, and you could just like stop some of the noise there. Like, here's another one. Like, I'm still stunned that they haven't. It doesn't feel like they've resolved anything, and even put a face on it, like the Alex Guerrero stuff. Like, if Alex Guerrero was just walking around today on the practice fields, wouldn't that be a sign that he's okay, we're okay, we're all okay? I mean, we're going to tell you what his role is, but he's on the field working with his guys, and he's not on the staff, but, you know, it's okay. He's here. He's okay. We don't think he's a steroid dealer, and whatever he's got with Brady and whatnot going on. It's, we're okay with it. We've all come to Jesus. We've all figured it out. We're all on the same page. On to 2018. Just put him on the field. That's all they have to do is walk Alex across the field. Someone will take the picture or run the video. And then all the Patriots told, he said, don't you feel like an idiot? Oh, where's the palace cue? That's all they have to do is get a picture out there. It doesn't take anything. They can totally fake it. And they won't even do that. Stunned. Stunned, stunned, stunned.
I'm surprised the Brady Belichick moment didn't happen at minicamp.
Oh, my God. It's so easy.
No, instead what we get is from the Patriots Twitter account a video of Tom Brady meeting two little kids called Tom and Brady. It's adorable. I've never seen anything like it.
So what is this? So this is so Chris Gasper obviously is working on something with Alex Guerrero. I hope it's good. I hope you got some juice in there. I hope you got a little something in there, because here's Chris Gasper asking Bill Belichick today about the Alex Guerrero thing. He starts with a question about, the questions are a little faint, so you just got to work with me a little bit on the questions. But he starts asking about, you know, with Edelman's positive, with Edelman's steroid bust, does that make you leery of working with Alex? Go ahead.
Bill, in the wake of Julian's suspension, any concerns about players receiving training or treatment from Alex Guerrero?
We instruct all of our players the same way, and we'll continue to do that. We never want to do anything that we're not allowed to do. We always want to play and abide by the rules, and we want to, at the same time, do what's best for the team. And so we'll continue to instruct our players, all of our players, that way in every area.
Have there been any changes in terms of policy or privileges when it comes to Alex training players here at the facility?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics of what our staff does and so forth.
Is he on the staff?
No.
Okay, so again, has there been any changes to his scope? I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but any changes in how he's working with the team and all that? And Bill says, I'm not going to get into what we do with our staff and anything like that. And Alex says, and then Gasper says, oh, so he's on your staff?
No,
not on the staff. So there's just a little Alex thing. I would tell you, I don't know, can you read anything into that, Miss?
No.
I mean, I think Bill's digging in his heels. Again, I think the whole Edelman thing almost gives the team an easy out with Brady. They say, you know, we can't let him in now. How do we know? We don't know what's going on there. We don't know what you're doing with him when you go in for your little leg rubs. I have no idea. So I just think it opens the door for them to say, no, he can't come back. I'd be shocked if Belichick all of a sudden reverse field on that one.
So there's just, look, will there be a detente with these guys? Will they straighten things out? There are going to be tells. There are going to be indications. Start with money, as you do with everything. If guys get their contracts, you're going to know things are being worked out. If and when Gronkowski gets his thing structured, restructured, whatever the case may be, you'll know that there's a detente there. If Brady gets an extension, you'll know that things have been hammered out. If you just see Alex walk across the field in training camp or on a side field working with guys, that'll be an indication that they've come to some sort of agreement on Alex. If Bill Belichick and Tom Brady just simply walk by each other and give each other some knuckles, which we haven't seen all spring, and I guess not today. If just the photo op, just to tell you, like, again, and the team's not above this. I mean, you understand that, well, what happened in the offseason when they had all that craziness, Michigas with Josh McDaniels and all that? Guess who went to dinner wide open in Foxborough for everyone to see and take a picture? Belichick and Kraft. Oh, they're on the same page. Oh, they're working together. Oh, everything must be okay. They're dining together. It was a staged photo op. So they're like, but that's all that took. They didn't have to say anything or do anything. Just give us a picture. And that tells 1,000 words.
Okay, but you're saying, but when you say just put it out there, would you buy it?
No, but
but the average fan would.
Sure.
Okay.
So I don't know at this point.
Oh, yeah, I think a lot of them would.
Of course they would. And you'd start to just tilt the noise a little bit in your direction. You would. And you'd have a good number of the Patriots reporters saying, see? Nothing there. But they won't even do that. They won't give you the simple photo op, which to me is just like, I'm still stunned that we don't even get that. And I'll give you one more here, Jimmy. The stuff on Tom Brady showing up early and Belichick's relationship with Tom Brady. It was widely reported, and Mike Reese jumped all over this, and you did hear some of this. Oh, look, Brady's showing up early. How do you like it now? Like, you know, Brady's showing up early. And Brady made a point to tell everybody. You know, like the Pat sent out a tweet, training camp starts in 5 days, and Brady retweeted or whatever he did, sausage emoji on Instagram, whatever he did.
Eggplant.
You know, no.
Wet sausage.
It's actually 2 days. Like, ooh, Brady's in early. You know, was he early? Bill Belichick, thank you, Bill, sets the record straight.
All the players were required to report, all the quarterbacks are required to report, and they all did like they always do. So, Tom's never missed anything that's been required.
The relationship between you and him is all good right now?
I feel like I have a good relationship with all of our players. Hope so.
Were you ever concerned that he wasn't going to be committed to the season?
No.
Okay, so it's specifically asked about his relationship with Brady, and I hope it's good with all the players. But the first thing, he tells you quarterbacks were required to report when Brady reported. It was there's different waves, right? Like it's like pitchers and catchers. It's spring training.
Sure.
In football training camp, I think it's rookies, guys rehabbing from injuries, and quarterbacks are due on whatever day, and then all the veterans are due on another day. And Brady just simply reported the day that he was required. Bill told you that. Volan asked him, was it good to see Brady show up early? Again.
All the players were required to report. All the quarterbacks are required to report. And they all did like they always do.
Stop. The quarterbacks were required to report. So he reported the day he was required to report. He didn't show up early. He showed up the day pitchers and catchers were due to report.
So who are you mocking here?
I'm not mocking anyone.
It's still going on.
I know it's hard not to. I know you always think I'm sort of there's no mock. It's just, thank you, Bill, for actually setting the record straight. He didn't report early.
No, but it's still going on. Like, he felt the need to go out of his way to make sure that the world knew that Brady wasn't early.
So he could have. Bill just could have played along. Like, it's great to see Brady committed and all of our players committed and da-da-da-da-da. And he went, nope.
All the players were required to report. All the quarterbacks are required to report. And they all did like they always do.
I think it's still going on.
Quarterbacks were required to report. That wasn't an early reporting. He reported at the required day. And as Bill said, Brady's always done what's required of him. Always. It used to be more, but I guess this is the new normal.
Yeah, no. He had to be on a boat in Monaco.
So,
chucking footballs to some guy I never heard of.
Your thoughts. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, Patriots items and Red Sox at the deadline are two items here on the board. Mike's in San Diego, in fact, on the Red Sox system. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, it just drives me nuts that you guys keep talking about prospects, and losing trades. I mean, I'm here in San Diego, and you know, we got traded Kimbrel. Margot's terrible. Asuaje's terrible. Can't even get on the field. The Pomeranz trade, Anderson Espinosa, you guys, you know, he was the number one pitching prospect at the time. Guy's an A-ball and tore his arm up. Tommy John. I mean, these guys are terrible. In the Sale trade, we got Sale. I'm a Red Sox fan, by the way. But Mankata's garbage. He's hitting 230. Kopech's not even in the big leagues. Thornburg trade, I think we kind of lost that one. Shaw's doing good. But, hey,
so,
we got
Mike,
a young
what's your point? What's your point?
Well, my point is that we keep worrying about depleting the system and trading away prospects, and we got nothing in the system. Our team is stacked. The Red Sox are stacked.
Do you think that they were able to make deals at this deadline that, like they've been able to do at other deadlines?
Well, let me just answer for him. We don't know yet. But I'm not even telling you they lost these trades. I mean, I think the Nathan Eovaldi trade, I would call it a win.
Sure.
I never said you lost that trade. And I'm not really grading trade for trade. The beef today is Dave Dombrowski said, basically in so many words, that they could have just as easily done the Zach Britton trade as the Nathan Eovaldi trade, but they thought Nathan Eovaldi was a better fit. So my issue today is either he's lying because they're sensitive to the criticism they've gotten about their system, which is fine too. But if someone lies, you should just call it out as a lie. So either he's lying or that's really the truth. He's really telling the truth that they could have gotten Zach Britton just as easily as Nathan Eovaldi, in which case can we discuss whether that's right, whether that's smart? That you'd rather have Nathan Eovaldi versus Zach Britton? So it's one of those two things. That's my point today. Win or loss of the trade, the Nathan Eovaldi trade I would have done.
Yeah, I just think that the Red Sox fans now are doing what Dombrowski's doing. They're getting their back up about the farm system.
But I wouldn't have done it over the Zach Britton thing. If I could have given up something similar and gotten Zach Britton, but instead chose Nathan Eovaldi, I would want to have my head examined.
Yeah, no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. You'd rather have Britton than Eovaldi. Like, so listen, and I'm not telling you every deal Dombrowski has made has been a bad one. Like, I just think people start going down the wrong road. I've never bitched about the Chris Sale deal. You've never heard me bitch about that one from day one. That's a good deal. That's precisely the kind of guy you should give up a lot of prospects for. A guy who's dominant, dynamite, and under control at a cheap salary. If you're not going to trade for him, who are you going to trade for? Like, absolutely, I got no issue on that one. It's some of the other deals I think that Dombrowski has overpaid, and he's just thrown away resources when he didn't have to. That's all.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want them. Bill in Westford on the Pats. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, so I just wanted to follow up on the survey about Belichick, if you don't mind. I think there's two aspects to it. Of course, he screwed up the Super Bowl by not playing him, but also, like, as an old-time Boston sports fan, he sort of hurt my feeling the way he treated him. Because you think about Boston sports in the past, you know, you got all these sort of iconic moments like Bobby Orr.
Hey, Bill.
Flying through the air.
Bill,
yep.
Are you really more upset about the loss or the way that Bill treated the player?
I'm upset about the way he treated him.
Oh, come on.
That's a lie.
No, I really am.
It's not a lie. Do you really feel it? So wait, you would rather have lost and him treated him well?
I'd rather he put him in and he played and they lost than he humiliated him. And my last image of him is crying on the sideline. He's a guy, one of the greatest moments in Patriots history was when he made that interception. I mean, I've got pictures on my wall of that. So and that's how he treated the guy?
Bill, you're a good person, a much better person than us.
It's a terrible end to a great story.
But I'm sorry. Fans are upset and they want an answer because it led to a loss.
Exactly.
And you also shouldn't be surprised because Belichick's always treated every single player he's ever dealt with as a piece of meat, except for one.
His sexting buddy out on the coast?
Yeah, his football son out in San Francisco.
Sexting buddy.
Want to trade picks?
If Bill had treated a player like a piece of meat and won, you'd celebrate him as that's Belichick. You like the sexting thing, Miss?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Speaking of meat, want to trade picks? Eggplant emoji.
Jimmy, I have a Duke in my pants.
Maybe that fan has a soft spot in his heart and is a kind-hearted person, and God bless you. Yeah, like I said, you're better than us.
Okay, so when I say that,
it's about winning and losing. It's about winning and losing, and his decision led directly to a loss. That's what people care about, not necessarily that he mistreated the player. I mean, I think the mistreatment of the player, quote-unquote, is like you wrap it in that he'd rather mistreat the guy than win the game. But it's the second part you really care about. If he had done that and won, you'd say, well, there's the brilliance of Bill Belichick.
Of course.
He does it his way, and the players are interchangeable, and, you know, next man up and all of that crap, and it would be part of his, but it didn't work. It backfired this time.
So when I say that's a lie, I mean that you need to examine it more deeply. Look into yourself more deeply than that. That's what I would tell you. That the fact is that if they had won the game and Belichick had been on the, Butler had been on the sideline when it happened, nobody would be talking about it. Nobody would. But again, and I just think that this makes Patriots fans hypocrites because you laugh hysterically. Yeah, Bill, don't give him any answers. F you, media. Except that when you want the answer, it's different, right? It's different.
Yeah, how does that feel? How does that taste, fans? Yeah. Welcome to our world.
How'd that taste?
Jeff in Brookfield. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, we know we all have to listen to the Bill Belichick press conference, and we all have to just sit there, and the media has to there, and he's, you know, has an obligation to do it. And kudos to Shaughnessy for trying to pepper him with the hard questions. But in that case, you know, Belichick is Judge Smales, and Shaughnessy is Spalding. You'll get nothing like it. And there's, you know, you're never going to get anything. The 30 for 30, the two bills. when he had a chance to at least give something on that insufferable turd Parcells, he does nothing. He gives him nothing. So, and there's only one way you're going to get anything on a Belichick, and this ties into the auction. Waterboarding. Belichick waterboarding. That's it. That's the only way you're going to get it. You're going to find out about the Flakegate, Jimmy G, Brady, Malcolm Butler, all of it.
Yeah, torture him. Torture him.
I thought, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday or not. Shaughnessy was about, for him, about as like polite and deferential as you could be when asking the questions. You know, Bill, I understand, you know, I have a job to do. Like he went out of his way to not step on.
Brad, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
I mean, compare it to when, like, you know, he asked Goodell questions at the Super Bowl. He practically spit in the guy's face.
Roger, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe.
It's like, screw you. I don't need you. I think you're a clown. But with Bill, I thought he was actually pretty courteous.
Oh,
for
my
him.
God. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Like, absolutely.
Oh, no, Dan and Bill like each other.
No, I know that. Which is
I
why
don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Sorry, Danny.
So Dan went out of his way, and they like each other because I think Bill sees Dan rip the crafts. That's what I think, just my two cents. Like, if I had, he's like, okay, that guy's doing what I can't. So, and Shaughnessy knows it. So he went out of his way to be careful and make sure he was polite and didn't ask the question in an antagonistic manner. Unlike Bill, he focused on the tone, right? And Bill just couldn't spit in any people's faces enough. Again, I just find it comical. He's not giving fans answers now, and now they're mad.
We continue with your thoughts.
Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
No, maybe not. Your Red Sox thoughts, are they getting – is the state of the Red Sox organization, i.e. the lack of talent in their system, their position against the luxury tax, is the state of the Red Sox organization allowing the Yankees to catch up at the trade deadline? The Yanks have traded for a good reliever and a good starter, and you don't want to see J.A. Happ's numbers against the Red Sox over his career. You don't want to see those. So is the state of the Red Sox organization allowing the Yankees to catch up personnel-wise here at the deadline? And is Dave Dombrowski telling the truth? Did they really have a legit crack at Zach Britton? They could have just as easily got Zach Britton as Nathan Eovaldi, and they chose Nathan Eovaldi? If that's true, how do you feel about that? 617-779-0985. That and your Patriots calls right after Murray's update here. No commercial.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group.